Not too bad. It's only 1 minute after seven. Some announcements as we get going on this Wednesday morning here. First off, get some coffee. It's a good day for some coffee. I understand it's supposed to rain down here in San Diego this afternoon, so enjoy the sunshine while you can. It's beautiful out there right now. This coming Sunday, we have a wonderful opportunity to hear from a great guy named Tim Schulte. He's a reverend within the LCMS, and he is going to be preaching in San Marcos. He is from Lutheran Bible Translators, and so he will be there to preach and teach and let us know all the things that are going on through Lutheran Bible Translators to get God's Word into all kinds of languages. But if you can't be there in San Marcos this Sunday, don't worry. He's also going to be at 50 Plus this coming Thursday, and so he'll be teaching there, and you have plenty of opportunity to see the mission that's going on there and what they can get done. So enjoy that. It'll be a great opportunity if you're here on local to catch up with that. Let's pray, and then we can get going. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the morning. We pray that you would guide our time in your word, that you lead us by your Spirit, and that as you bring us to a new day, Father, that you would guide us in all things, that we would see the things you would have us do for the benefit of our neighbors and take care of them through it. So we pray that you be in all things, that they would glorify you and share your love with those around us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, picking up in Ecclesiastes in chapter 7, and we are at verse 14. Just looking for my kid's backpack here real quick. Nope, it's not here. So he can find it somewhere else. Picking up at verse 14, and we're going to go all the way through to 29, and there's kind of three main chunks. So there's 14 through 18, and then 19 through 24, and then 25 through the end. So, and that's how kind of how we'll look at it. All right, so 14 through 18, here we go. In the day of prosperity, be joyful. And in the day of adversity, consider God has made this one as well as the other, so that man may not find out anything that will be after him. In my vain life, I have seen everything. There is a righteous man who perishes in his righteousness, and there is a wicked man who prolongs his life in his evil doing. Be not overly righteous, and do not make yourself too wise. Why should you destroy yourself? Be not overly wicked, neither be a fool. Why should you die before your time? It is good that you should take hold of this, and from that withhold not your hand, for the one who fears God shall come out from both of them. Okay. It brings to mind the verses from Paul, where I think it's Corinthians, maybe it's Colossians. I always get the names mixed up. But when he says, I have learned to be content in everything, right? I know what it is to abound and have plenty, and I know what it is to lack and have nothing. And so in those situations, I've learned to be content, knowing that God has brought all of them, and in all things I can do through Christ who strengthens me. I messed up the verse. You know which one it is. It's the one everybody uses. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There you go. And in this, Solomon's saying something similar. He's saying, look, don't just look for the good days. Enjoy the good days. But don't hang your hat on them. Don't think that God only loves you when the days are good. And don't just despair in the bad days. Because God still loves you even in the bad days. And God's brought both of them for one reason or another, right? And so in these days that are good by some standards and in these days that are bad by some standards, God is still the same God. He's still there for you. He's still present with you. God has brought all of them. So sit in them. See what there is to learn from them. See what there is to enjoy in them. See what there is to pull out from those times when there is less plentifulness, right? Because there's still beautiful things that go on even in those moments. So God is bigger than your circumstances, in plenty or in lack. We can still find contentment in God. And in this view of full wisdom and full folly, Solomon's saying, look, there's a middle, right? Be not overly wicked, neither be a fool. Be not overly righteous, and do not make yourself too wise, right? In each one of these, there are certain situations we can find folks. We can either find the folks that say the law is everything. And remember, this is righteousness before man. This isn't righteousness before God. This is all the stuff going on under the sun. And Solomon says there are those who are going to live absolutely according to the law, and they expect everybody that's out there to live absolutely according to the law. And if you don't live according to the law, then you absolutely have to be punished. And they overlook the fact that they don't live even their own law perfectly. We can see this in all kinds of situations in life. We can see this in the church. We can see this in the home. We can see this in many other facets of places, right? Maybe not your personal church, but in the wider scope of things, we can look through Christendom and we can look through the wider church out there and see where folks have said, this is the way things have to be done. This is exactly it. And we're not looking anywhere else. Now, there's another side to this, which is don't pay attention to any of it. Be an absolute fool and folly and go completely off the rails the other direction. Pay no attention to any law. Solomon's saying, there's a middle. There's a middle in this stuff that is done under the sun. There's a middle in the way in which we take care of one another. There's a middle in the way in which we socially work together, right? And he's going to get to that. So let's check out this next section from 19 to 24. Wisdom gives strength to the wise man more than 10 rulers who are in a city. Surely there is not a righteous man on earth, under the sun, right? On earth who does good and never sins. Do not take to heart all the things that people say, lest you hear your servant cursing you. Your heart knows that many times you yourself have cursed others. All this I have tested by wisdom. I said, I will be wise, but it was far from me. That which has been is far off and deep, very deep. Who can find it out? All right, this middle ground that he's looking at, Luther had a great wording for this, and he summed it up by basically saying, bear with one another and wink at faults. What's that mean? He's saying, within the home, within daily life, within the work setting, within the school, within all the places, there is absolutely a good thing in trying to keep order and keep direction. But sometimes you might have to just wink at a fault here or there to acknowledge it and overlook it just a little bit. Is it something that is absolutely detrimental and must be corrected in that moment? Or is it something that can slide for a minute? There's times at which we have to do that. There's times at which, for the sake of a brother, for the sake of a sister, we might have to let something slide for a minute. We might have to see what's going on in their life to understand the words that they just said maybe weren't meant to be as hurtful as they were. And we can say, hey, that hurt. But I can see where you're coming from, right? And there might be other times where we see something happen and say, I think I'm gonna let that one slide for a minute. Because I know that person's character and I know that's not really them, right? I loved reading through Luther with this, and he even starts quoting other books, which is great. It's something that's been done throughout all time for theologians. They're like, oh yeah, this guy wrote and this guy wrote. So he talks about Cicero and Erasmus. Erasmus was a contemporary. Cicero was much earlier, I think. I don't really remember the time frames. But Cicero said, overlook nothing. It's all got to be paid attention to. And Erasmus said, correct all the faults of your friends. And Luther's saying, yeah, you can call out stuff when it needs to be called out, but sometimes you might just need to wink at a fault, all right? It doesn't mean the fault's not there. You've acknowledged it. It just means that you understand the setting a little bit more. Man, aren't there times that we wish folks would do that with us? Again, this isn't from God's perspective. This is dealing with one another. Understanding the brokenness of other because of the brokenness within ourselves. But there are times at which we've said things where we wish somebody would just kind of say, I know you better than that. And I'm going to let you know that that hurt. But I'm also not going to try and correct everything about you in this moment, right? to wink at a fault. It's kind of an interesting perspective. To know that God is bigger than all of it. And when we look at one another, to realize who we are before one another as unperfect and broken people, and to be able to say, yeah, I'm going to let that one slide this time. We'll talk about it another time, right? Okay, so that's his point. And then as we get down to verse 21 in there, do not take to heart all the things that people say, lest you hear your servant cursing you. Why do we feel the need sometimes to go out and feel like we have to know everything that everybody has said about us? And we start asking other people what this other person said, and we start trying to put together all these other things that someone else had said, when sometimes we don't even really want to hang out with the person that said them. Sometimes it doesn't matter. You know yourself better than somebody else knows you and what they've said about you. Now, we can take honest criticism and feedback from trusted voices and trusted friends, but why sometimes do we want to seek out all the things that someone else has said about us when we know we haven't always said the nicest things about them? All that's going to do is hurt even more, right? If there is something if there's something you cannot correct, let it go. The wicked will be punished, right? If someone said something, if someone has done something, and you can't do anything about it, don't fret over it. It'll be brought to light. It'll be taken care of. In the end of things, God's got it under control, no matter what, in the present and in the future. He's even had it in control in the past. Crazy thing to think about, right? God is in control over all of it, over the daily interactions, over the conversations, over all of it. And in this interaction of stuff that just goes on under the sun without even looking to God, if there's something someone's done against you and you can't correct it or bring it to a fault, let it go. Let it roll off your back. It'll be brought to light in some other setting, in some other way. Just keep on keeping on with what you got to do. And maybe it's time to separate yourself from them, unless they're a good and trusted friend. But that's not what Solomon's talking about. Solomon's talking about the ones that you barely even have any relationship with at all, and they're talking behind your back. So, let it go. And that's a hard one for me. I'm first to say that's a hard one for me, because I want to make sure everybody's okay. I want to make sure that everybody is saying nice things. I want to please folks more often than not. And there's good and bad to that. And so if someone's not saying something right, I want to figure out why. But sometimes I gotta just let it go. Let them say what they're gonna say. Let them do what they're gonna do. Let them take care of whatever they're gonna take care of. And at some point in time, they're gonna figure all that out. And someone else will call them out on whatever it is, right? Okay, let's get to the end of this part. I'm rambling on at this point. Okay, 25 to 29. I turned my heart to know and to search out and to seek wisdom and the scheme of things, and to know the wickedness of folly and the foolishness that is madness. And I find something more bitter than death. The woman whose heart is snares and nets and whose hands are fetters. He who pleases God escapes her, but the sinner is taken by her. Behold, this is what I found, says the preacher, while adding one thing to another to find the scheme of things, which my soul has sought repeatedly, but I have not found. One man among a thousand I found, but a woman among all these I have not found. See, this alone I found, that God made man upright, but they have sought out many schemes. That's a whole nother conversation for a whole nother day before we go into another 15 to 20 minutes to try and figure out exactly what Solomon's talking about. But I think for the main part here that he's looking at is saying, guys, look for everything under the sun, and there are going to be times at which they can't stay focused on what needs to get done at all. And there are going to be times that their desires and their wants of lust are going to take precedent over the things that they should be doing in the vocations that God has called them into, whether or not they realize that it's God who did it. But sometimes it's tough to stay focused. And in Solomon's experience, you got to remember who's writing this stuff. The guy who brought in wives from all the other cultures, the guy who brought in ladies from all the other surrounding areas in order to make political alliances, and then to find out that they were bringing their gods into his home and that there was distraction and that he found himself even getting distracted by all those who would take him away. Again, this is under the sun. This is not talking about the women who see God's good grace and God's good word and the ones who have been touched by that grace to be present in a humble and beautiful way to glorify God in the midst of a relationship. It's not what Solomon's talking about. Solomon's talking about the broken situations. And we've seen those around us as well. So that last part can definitely be a longer conversation. And if you want to talk about that, give me a call. Let's go chat. Let's dig into it deeper and get ready for that conversation. But for the most part, what we see with Solomon here in these texts, content in a situation, knowing that high or low, that's where God's got you. Seeing a set of rules and knowing that they're there for good order. And sometimes things need to be winked at a little bit. And that in all things under the sun, it's really hard to stay focused. So we'll continue on Friday with chapter 8. And until then, we pray. I thank you, God, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept us this night from all harm and danger. And pray that you would keep us this day also from sin and all evil. Let all our doings in life be pleasing to you, for into your hands we give of ourselves, body, souls, all things. Let your holy angel be with us, that the evil foe Satan may have no power over us. Amen. God bless you and keep you. See you next time.